Well, good evening, one and all, or good morning, depending on where you are, and welcome to our midweek church service on this fourth day of October 2017. Welcome to those joining us on the phone, those listening to the recording, and glad to have you with us tonight. Our opening song is Jesus Saves. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the mountains, cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Waited on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing you islands of the sea. Echo back you ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Sing above the battle strife.
Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
By his death and endless life,
Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Shouted brightly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb,
Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Amen. Praise the Lord for what a merciful, kind, and loving Father and Savior we have the privilege to know and to serve in these last days. Jesus saves indeed. Whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Well, it's now time for opening prayer, and who would like to offer that tonight? Please feel free.
Our Father in heaven, thank you for your precious grace, opening up our eyes to see wonderful things in thy word, in the book of nature that surrounds us every day of our life. Thank you, Jesus, for making the reality of your life written on historical records called the Bible and other books. More books have been written about you and you never wrote one. More songs about you and you never wrote one. More foster homes and hospitals have been made and run and maintained because of you, and you never technically started one in the sense that we understand the word of hospital today. And it's because of everything you said and did. Thank you for preserving truth. And Holy Spirit, thank you for making Jesus real today. And practical, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can, by the power of yourself, have a constant growth in the things of God. And it's not airy-fairy. It's not make-believe. It's factual. Please help us stand and defend the truth in meekness and in fear before you, all of the Godhead, when we're meeting up with family and friends and strangers, people we've never met before, to not allow an opportunity to pass to give a word for you with meekness and fear, and not let it just seem that the religion of Christianity is just another of the many out there, that it's on the same level as the many, which are paganistic or a mixture of paganistic and Christianity, which is very deceptive. Thank you that we can, despite the deceptions that are being practiced out there, Babylon is being emptied of her captives, as we are all examples and evidence of this fact, and by the grace of God continue to be. I also want to uphold a particular individual by the name of Norm. This dear fellow has showed an interest in some of the deceptions that have been practiced in the Jesuit order that has got his attention. We pray that more than this will get his attention and bring him to the Bible that has exposed this long ago of what would come and has come and continues to come and will until Christ Jesus comes back. Help him see that it's possible for him too to be ready for that event, not in fear, but in gladness and joy, being glad to see and not terrified. We uphold the chapter we're about to enter upon in the book of Acts, chapter 2. We're almost at the end of it. It is a thrilling chapter. It's thrilling because it's real, and I pray every word that we read and listen to will deeply convict us and lead us to a deeper understanding that will provoke us to thinking and sharing anything that needs to be shared, to help us all learn together what it means to be growing Christians, understanding Christians, because we want the world to enjoy this gift that's actually for everyone and not for a select few, because your love is infinite and you've not left one out of it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. Acts chapter 2 is where we are in our study book. Verse 37 is where we left off last time. And Peter had just finished relating to all of the people that were gathered there, some 3,000 or so individuals, that Jesus was the Messiah, the long-looked-for anointed one, that David had prophesied of him, and that David was still in the grave awaiting the resurrection, but Christ had not only died and been buried, but was resurrected and then ascended on high, which was proof that those that had chosen to follow God and had died in the Lord would also be resurrected at the proper time. And then Peter ended by saying that since Christ is the Messiah and the Jews covenanted with the Roman power to crucify and kill the Son of God, that every single church member of the Jewish system was corporately responsible for the sins of their leaders in crucifying Christ. And that's where we left off, and now we'll find out exactly how these very strong and powerful words that Peter spoke that were attended by the outpouring of the Spirit and driven into the hearts of the people and their consciences awakened by it, how they responded. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. So in other words, the Spirit brought conviction to their hearts that what they heard was true. So then they had a choice to make. Do they become mad that they'd been pointed out as being corporately responsible for murder? Or do they accept it? Continuing. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? So they were not only convicted that they were guilty of crucifying Christ, but they wanted to know what they could do to alleviate the problem. Amen. Honest souls indeed, and they're still out there, dear ones. They're still honest souls just waiting for the present truth to be given them. And they too, under the convicting power of the Spirit, will say, what do we do about this? And praise the Lord for honest-hearted souls. Even though it may only be 1 in 100, praise the Lord for that one. It's not totally hopeless. There is hope. Now, these particular individuals that were listening to all this, they were completely unaware of this present truth, and they only would have heard it had Peter and the rest of the apostles there had been speaking it. And Peter and the rest of the apostles would only have been speaking it because the Spirit had given them the words, given them the courage, given them the wisdom to know exactly what to say and how to say it. And they only received the Spirit because they took the time to settle all of their differences between one another and were fully united in the faith of Jesus Christ. Is it any different today, dear ones? The truth spoken under the power of the Spirit will indeed bring honest hearts face to face with the present truth, and they will want to know more. What shall we do? And in these last days, it's going to be with 10 times the power. So instead of 1 in every 100, there may be 10 in every 100, which is 10%. That would be fantastic indeed. So they said, what shall we do? And then Peter gives them instruction. Would someone like to read the next paragraph, the next verse, verse 38.
Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. So the first thing that Peter told them to do was that they needed to repent from this corporate responsibility. The next thing he said is, after you repent, then you need to be baptized. And once you're baptized by water, then you would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes the gift of the Spirit came before they were baptized, like with, I believe it was Cornelius and his family. But Peter brought out that you need to repent, you need to be baptized, and then the promise of the Holy Spirit will indeed be given to you for free. Any other?
Must have felt like they were given a whole new opportunity to have a new life. I think it would have been an exciting time to hear Peter preach this to them straight after telling them just how much one was guilty of.
Amen, amen. And can you imagine being convicted that you are indeed responsible for the murder of an innocent man? Even though you yourself didn't give your approval to it, your leaders did, but because you're connected with those leaders, then you're responsible for murder. And he said, well, how do we become cleansed? How do we solve this problem? We don't want to be guilty of murdering someone. We didn't even give our consent to it. And then Peter very simply says, repent. Confess your sins unto God and be baptized in Jesus Christ, and your sins will be remitted. They will be forgiven. And then you will have the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you into all truth. Salvation is without money and without price. Just the fact of your need is sufficient for Christ to fill it. If you're thirsty, that need is sufficient for him to quench your thirst. If you're hungry, that need is sufficient for him to fill you with the bread of life, without money and without price. Something so simple and yet so hard for self to do. Before you can repent, you need to be convicted that you have sinned. Once you're convicted, then self has to die in order for you to repent, in order for you to admit you're guilty and then repent for the crime, for the sin. But yet it's so simple, but so hard, depending on how much of self is in your heart.
Amen, brother. It must be something. It's one thing to be convicted that you are corporately responsible for killing someone. That's terrible. But to think it was the Son of God, the prophesied one, I understand that we, when I was a Christian, I mean, before I became a Christian, it was that very truth that I'd been guilty, because I realized Jesus was there for, not for himself, but for me. I realized, that I'm sure all of us here realize that it was because of me he's up there. It's my individual responsibility that put him up there. It must have been thrilling, as I say, to hear this message of hope from Peter dealing with the Son of God.
Amen indeed. Now, recognize here, the Jewish church leaders had already basically made it a law that if anyone confessed Christ to be the Messiah, their Savior and Redeemer, that they would be immediately excommunicated, immediately put out of the church. So this confession here came with consequences. It wasn't consequences from God, it was consequences from men. Church councils, your membership would be eliminated. So for them to voluntarily repent, be baptized in the name of Christ, which was a public ceremony, which means there were people watching, which meant that there were spies there taking down the names of everybody they recognized and taking them to the priests and the rulers of the temple and so on, you were basically separating yourself from the Jewish church. So Peter's message here involved separation. So the people could not have an apostate church in one hand and Christ in the other. They had to make a choice. It was one or the other. To accept the church would be to be guilty of crucifying Christ, rejecting him. To accept Christ, you'd be guilty of rejecting the church. You couldn't have both. And the choice had to be made. Remain a church member, your choice was rejecting Christ if you had heard the truth and been convicted by it. So if you thought that, well, I'm not going to make any decision whatsoever, and you remained in the church, that was your decision, which meant you rejected Christ. And it's the same today. Fear God, give glory to him, the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him. Not worship the church, not worship a council of men, not worship the Pope. Worship God. So in following the first angel's message, you are separating yourself from everything contaminated with apostasy and man-made bondage. And the second commandment comes into play and says, Babylon is fallen. If it's fallen, why do you want to be there? It's fallen from God's grace. It's fallen from the truth of the Word of God. Why would you want to continue to dwell in a fallen church? The third angel's message basically repeats the first angel's message. And the fourth angel that unites with the third repeats the second. So the people here in leaving the church were going directly to Jesus Christ. They were baptized in the name of Christ. They weren't baptized in the name of the church. In this case, it would be the church founded by Christ, which was called Christian. So they weren't baptized in the Christian church. They were baptized in Christ. And it's the same today. We're to be baptized in Christ. We're to join him, become part of his body. Not join a church, not be baptized into a church, not become members of a church through baptism. We're to become members of the body of Christ through baptism. So the devil has things quite deceptively aligned in his favor. He knows that individuals are going to recognize that the church that they belong to is no longer the same as it was in the beginning, that it's no longer following the truths of God's word, but the commandments of men. And so they're going to be inclined to want to leave that church. And he then guides them to another church that's not quite as apostate in the open as the church that they're leaving, and gets them to join that church. And as long as the devil can get you church hopping, dropping your membership in one place and putting your membership in another church, he's got you. But when you set aside all denominationalism, recognizing that it's all part of corrupt Babylon, and you go directly to Jesus Christ for your salvation, The devil's lost and Christ wins. Because whoever comes to Christ, he will in no wise cast out. The only way that connection between you and Christ can be broken is for you to leave him. But yoked together with Christ, it doesn't matter what man does unto you. It doesn't matter if the church casts out your name as evil. It doesn't matter if the government labels you as a terrorist. It all doesn't matter. Because you have Christ. And if you have the Savior, you have everything of value in this world. Everything else pales in comparison to having Christ. That pearl of great price. That precious treasure hid in the field. That rose of Sharon, that balm of Gilead, the Lord God Jesus Christ, you have everything if you're connected with him. But without him, you have nothing. Empty promises. So if the devil can just get you to go from one corrupt church.
I think as long as basically we keep our eyes on Christ and not on what's going on around us or what maybe we might be going through or what have you. Because when we keep our eyes on Christ, it blinds us to anything and everything else. We have on spiritual blinders, if you will. And as we do that, I mean, all we can do is look up and say, thank you, Lord, for whatever it is that we're going through.
Amen. And that's extremely important. If you are indeed focused upon Christ, then wherever he leads you, it's safe. And you can rest in his love because you recognize his love for you, his great concern for your welfare, and you know without a doubt that Christ would never lead you astray. So looking unto him who is the author and the finisher of your faith, the beginning of the faith for you, and the perfecter of your faith in you, then you have nothing to fear. You could have turmoil all around you, and yet you would not fear because your eyes are focused on your great leader. And just as a shepherd never leads his sheep into danger, he only leads them to greener pastures, even though they may have to go through the rough area of desert in order to get there. So just as a shepherd never leads his sheep astray, so Christ never leads you and me astray, even though we may have to go through some rough places in order to get to the greener pasture. And praise his holy name for being such a loving, merciful, and compassionate.
Amen. Praise him indeed. I don't know if I've given this something that I remember when my sister was still living, that she said actually really not too long before she passed, but she said she was dreaming that she and I were in like this boat on a large body of water. And for some reason, somehow, I had fallen in the water and it was appearing as though I was drowning. And then all of a sudden, she said she saw like this man that was coming along. And she said, help my sister, she's drowning, help her, help her. And he says, no, she's okay, she'll be all right. And she was like, no, help her, she's drowning, she's drowning. He said, no, she'll be okay, she's all right. And then she said she woke up, and many times I've thought about that, because so many times since she has passed, when I feel the absence of her very keenly, and many things that I've had to go through recently or in the past or what have you, and I think about that, about all the trials and how it just seems like, I'm not going to make it, Lord. And yet, as I keep my focus on Him, He brings me through. And just recently, with the storms and all of that, and after that, I saw a bumper sticker on a car, and it said, God's crazy about you. And I had to chuckle because I said, thank you, Lord, even though it may not seem like anybody else cares, but you're crazy about me. So thank you, Lord. I love you, too.
Amen. And what a dream. What a dream. And Christ knows exactly what is best for each one of us. And if we happen to find ourselves floundering, all we have to do is look up and call on the name of the Lord. And He immediately puts out His hand to lift us up. Praise His holy name. Amen. Instantly. Amen. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments before we open it up to a season of prayer? Please go right ahead.
I was just going to say that, first of all, that is a very impressive dream, Sister Lynn. It sounds like all of us in that dream that she shared about your sister's dream. It must be very strange to people who aren't Christians, and I've seen this in the book of Acts, as I'm sure, yeah, you could never forget it. Amen. Regarding suffering and how people can be singing through the suffering, like the apostles, etc. It must be very strange to the world, because they just don't understand. You're giving this up and that up. And this up, all so you can have a free conscience and believe as you want to. I love reading the book of Acts. I think it's one of those books that just make, it's like an unfinished book that we're to finish in a way.
That's an interesting concept, dear brother. I'll have to do a little bit more thinking about that. But, it's true. It's true. God has raised us up in this very last generation to fulfill His will and bring about the end of the great controversy. The apostles, including Paul, began it based upon the seeds of truth that Christ planted. And God has given us the great privilege and honor of finishing the work that Christ began and the apostles carried forward. And each one of us has a part to play that no other person but us can fulfill. God just asks for us to share what we know. And He'll take care of what happens. That's all that Peter and the rest of the apostles were doing, was just sharing what they knew to be true. And the Spirit took over and drove the truth into the hearts of the people. So praise the Lord for His word of truth. And the book of Acts is great. Gives a lot of history of the early beginnings of the church, especially the works of Paul. And we're seeing a lot of the same events taking place today. But praise God for having a part in God's work. Let's open it up to a season of prayer. And I'll go ahead and start. And whoever else would like to pray, please feel free. So let us bow our heads and our knees. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank You so very much for digging us out of the pit of darkness and despair and planting our feet on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving each of us a part to play in thy great work. Thank you for opening our eyes to understand the truth, to accept Christ as our Savior, to repent of our sins. And thank you for pouring your Spirit out upon us. And I pray, dear Spirit, that you will continue to convict us of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment. Please empower the words that we speak to others of the Savior and present truth and bring conviction to their hearts at the proper time. Water the precious seeds of truth and let an abundant harvest take place for the glory of God and the increasing of His kingdom. Thank you that Babylon is indeed being emptied of souls, and that your kingdom of righteousness is being filled with precious souls. And thank you that we're a day closer to the great controversy coming to an end and this universe being finally cleansed from all sin forevermore. Thank you, Savior, for beginning that work in our hearts. And please continue to bring us more and more to perfection. Pray that you'll be with all of those requesting prayers, whether spoken or unspoken. Be with the family of Jake. Please comfort them at his passing. And thank you, Father, that you are in control and that we can rest in your love for Jake, knowing that everything possible has been done to warrant his salvation, and we leave it in thy most capable hands. Please work upon the hearts of his daughters and family, that they too may come to confess Christ as their Savior and to have hope of life after death in him. Be with those that are struggling with the events that took place in Las Vegas, as well as the catastrophes that are occurring in various parts of the world, and let them know how short life can be, how unpredictable it can be, and thus find safety every moment in Christ Jesus their Lord. Thank you so much for hearing and answering this prayer and allowing us to gather here tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Thank you, dear Savior, for allowing us one more time to just thank you, Lord, and praise you for your goodness and for your mercy. Lord, I plead forgiveness for every unchristlike deed or thought that I have done that's unpleasing in thy sight, that even those that I might not have known that I've done, please forgive me, Lord. As I stand in the gap and pray for the brethren here this evening, both in the room and on the phone or listening at a later date, for every spoken and unspoken request, I thank you, Lord, for already hearing and answering in accordance to your will. Thank you for being with those on the front lines, dear Savior. Elder Rob and Sister Rose and Brother James and Sister Lucy, Brother Joel and Sister Petwa, and Brother Willington, all those that are on the front lines that are carrying your truth forward, dear Savior. Bless them and keep them, I pray. I lift up a special prayer this evening for dear Sister Joan, who I know right now has to be grieving the loss of her dear friend Jake. But we thank you, Lord, that we had the assurance that he had accepted you. And so we thank you for that, dear Lord. Please comfort her and keep her, dear Lord. Be with the family members, his daughters, that they would come to see you and know you for the precious, wonderful Savior that you are. Please keep our eyes looking ever upward on thee. All of the other spoken and unspoken, dear Savior, the desires of our hearts according to your will, I thank you, Lord, for granting in accordance to your divine will. These things I pray and thank you beforehand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Father in heaven, in my humble prayer today, I wish to pray about sin, especially about repentance and forgiveness. But having said that, perhaps I should begin with a word about the recognition of sin. It seems to me that your Ten Commandments, on which we base our Christian walk, are interpreted so widely by some that there can be grey areas that are not so easily understood and that can therefore give rise to dissension among your followers. I ask for help and guidance for all of us, Lord, for whom this may sometimes be a problem. I ask that you will show us how to identify sin more readily so that we do recognize evil whenever it blocks our path. We do know, Father, that your Son sacrificed himself on the cross so that our sins might be forgiven. But we know also that before that forgiveness can happen, we must be truly repentant, truly sorry for whatever we have said or done or even thought that goes against your holy law. If we sincerely fulfill this requirement, then our guilt is taken from us forever. We believe we have been granted a full and free pardon, and this wrongdoing will never be held against us again. When we come to you to confess our sins, we realize with gratitude that we are not appearing before a vengeful judge, but before a loving Father, one who is only too ready to forgive us, but provided that we have shown by our confession we are deserving of that pardon. There are also the sins of omission, Lord, those things we ought to have done that we have not, and perhaps one of the most difficult of these is loving our enemies, forgiving those who have wronged us, but we know we must forgive them no matter how hard it may be. Thank you, Lord, for hearing this prayer, and I pray also that you will answer it according to your perfect will. I ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Precious Father in heaven, while we're sorry at one count to hear dear Jake has passed away, I hope that you can strengthen Sister Joan and she can speak of it. This dear friend that she gave her testimony of what Christ means to her and how that impressed him to give his heart and do what he could. It reminds me of the thief on the cross who couldn't do much except ask Jesus, for you to have mercy on him. And you did. And he will be in the kingdom. And we don't have any reason to doubt Jake will be there in time to come. We pray that you'll especially help Sister Joan get through this awkward trial, and especially with the family, especially the daughter who was an unbeliever. But for so many people have so many different reasons why they're unbelieving, and some seem so legitimate in terms of what has been misrepresented is actual Christianity, true Christianity, early Christianity, and that carried through the long dark centuries of papal apostasy and the church coming out of the wilderness as it is this day, pure Protestantism that shows itself in the prosperous nations of the world where they are Protestant and not taking away the right of the conscience to believe what one wants to believe and how they want to worship, as long as they don't hurt anyone in the process physically. I want to also uphold Judy Byrne, dear Sister Lucy's sister, when they visit a memorial of her late husband, that Sister Lucy would have the power, spirit, that you'll give her words to speak that would cause Judy to consider again, especially we figure she's considered it once, to consider
more deeply the question of what it means to reject Christ. Not organizations, but Christ. Like Paul was presenting, what it means to accept one and reject the other. What it means to stand up for the one, even though it costs the loss of friends, organizations, and even family. That she would consider what makes truth the truth and be impressed enough to say and be honest with herself if she's done a faithful study of that very question and it's given her a valid reason to be unbelieving and untrusting of you, Jesus. We also want to uphold our Sister Teresa and Brother Joel and his wife, Piana, from, seems like a long time ago. These dear individuals, they used to fellowship with us, and for one reason and another, they no longer do. I don't know how they're going, but you do, and they've known it ever since, and nothing's surprising to you, but we hope they don't forget us, and that they are still in our prayers, that they are still in our thoughts, and that we miss them, and we would love for them to fellowship and to have peace with you above all things, and peace with every Christian brother and sister, and those who aren't Christians, so that they can have the joy of salvation that was first presented to them in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I also ask that you'll help us, that you'll give us a seal that speaks of our high calling to meet, having left all apostate churches by your grace and not by our own strength, we might go forward to perfection. Help us perfect our characters and not go on a holiday regarding perfecting our character or be lazy in some area. We know that it's the inclination of the carnal heart, but it's the absolute power of the Spirit to lead away and further, higher and up and onward to closer reflect Jesus. And we want to do this, Jesus. We know you are the truth in 100%. And this is hard for human beings to understand, but by faith we understand it, and by your fruits, which no one can deny, even the greatest of your enemies cannot deny. We like to be like the disciples that we've read about, that Elder Bob has read and extrapolated on, of the events that took place in Peter's time, the Apostle Peter, who are willing to tell their personal stories to such an extent that they're okay with their brother, like John, sharing embarrassing moments in their life. They weren't afraid. That speaks to us that they must have knew they were forgiven for it, because it was against Jesus that it was done. I pray that Jesus will be like them. They were such a faithful group. We know that's what you're calling us to do, and we've seen signs of this happening even in our day, of proofs that the ministry of your Holy Spirit to convict of sin and to convert us has been taking place. And thank you that it's still going on. Thank you for our forefathers who have, against persecution, against unpalatable truths by the very people who should be absorbing it, even Christendom, but refuse. Thank you that there are many in there that don't come under that heading, and that by your guidance, Spirit, they will be let loose. Please give our brothers and sisters all the sleep that they need, and help us make all the energetic efforts we should do on this sunny day here in Australia, and our brother Willington in catching up with him, and our brother Laverne, who's coming to visit us this very night. We pray it is a safe trip for him from Melbourne to Perth, and that we can make it a meaningful visit and all of us come together again online Sabbath. Thank you for the Sabbath, and thank you that we can look forward to it every day of the week. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
And amen. And dear brother James, please give my dear brother Laverne a big Christian hug for me when you see him tonight. And thank you. Dear ones, are there any other thoughts, any other comments, any songs, testimonies, anything else that you'd like to share before we close tonight's service? Please feel free. May God bless, dear ones. Keep looking up. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you in just a couple days. And may God continue to lead and guide you in all areas according to his perfect will. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Depart ye, depart ye, go ye out from thence. Depart ye, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out, of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Isaiah 52:11. God bless.